Hello, 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 and welcome to Not a Safe Space. This is Sabrina.
And Tabby.
Hey, girl, what's going on?
Not much. How are you?
Doing well. Just got my hair did. Looking new.
I know. You're looking all sassy and pretty for episode 13.
Yeah, lucky 13.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, so hey, welcome back. So we'll jump right into this today. Of course, everybody go to every platform, right?
Make
sure you are rating and leaving comments, at least on Google and Apple, because that's how we get graded through there and get popularity and get found by other listeners. So please, if you have, we appreciate all the text messages and support and love on Facebook, but just take a couple minutes and give us 5 stars or 1 star, because it doesn't matter. It still gets us up there, which is great.
Just give us something.
Yeah, just give us a little bit of love on those platforms. So housekeeping-wise, in the middle of getting my hair cut, I get a phone call from my sister, who has now deemed herself our number one fan, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Which I feel like...
She should create a Facebook group page of Not a Safe Space podcast fans.
Well, I think that... we need to challenge her and Dion to a number one fan competition.
Ooh, I like it.
Because Dion might be our number one fan too. So they can go head to head on that. So she called with a little bit of correction corner. She's listening to our most recent episode 12, and where we were talking about Blue Nile diamonds. And we were talking about fake diamonds. Like the light bulb just went off in your head.
It really did.
I just saw the light bulb.
I mean, it was like bright.
Right.
I mean, Sabrina's like, she was giving us a correction when we were talking about diamonds. I'm like, when the fuck were we talking about diamonds? I can barely remember 15 minutes ago, much less last week.
So I literally just saw the light bulb go, oh yeah, I remember that. So we referred to fake diamonds as cubic zirconiacs, and she called and she's on FaceTime and she's like, it's cubic zirconia. And I was like, what are you talking about? Why are you yelling at me? And she was like, you guys called it cubic zirconiac. And she said, you were trying to come up with the right word. And I suggested the wrong word. And you were like, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, okay, all right. And Charlotte said, she was like, yeah, that sounds right. And then she was like, wait, that's not fucking right.
But we convinced you for a half of a second.
We
that's
sure
all
did.
That fucking matters.
We sure did. So we're brainwashing everybody.
Maybe we were thinking of a cognac. Like, maybe we were in the mood for a drink.
So that's what she said. And I said, I think I attach it to the zodiac sign, cubic zirconia. I think that's how I got it twisted. Either way, English is not my first language. Well, proper English is not my first language. So, my bad.
At least you whoops.
All right.
At least you have that excuse. I don't. English is supposed to be my first language, and I suck at it.
I wasn't going to bring up what you do for a living.
I know. Well, I can write. Apparently, I cannot speak.
Right. Well, and you have editors, right? You can't be everything to everyone.
I know. I try.
You come up with the words and the dialogue, and then it's somebody else's job to correct all that. So thank you, Charlene, for the correction.
We really do appreciate it. Keep it coming.
That's right. We do. So, hey, I know you don't watch reality TV, but I do. But I want to bring this up because I've been trying to tell you how much I think reality TV connects with reality and everybody's life. So yesterday I watched, or this morning, because I'm watching reruns of Real Housewives of Orange County. Now, there's a lady on there, Vicky, and her friend Kelly that are arguing. And the reason that they're arguing is because Vicky is spreading lies about Kelly. She has said that Kelly does cocaine, that she had a train done on her by 8 different men, and that she's, I know, and that she can't, on last night's episode, she was like, and she's not even allowed at her daughter's school. Like, she has such anger issues. So as I'm watching Kelly try to defend herself, and she's hearing all these rumors, of course, secondhand, not from Vicky's mouth, because she's a coward, I see this lady exacerbated because she's trying to defend herself, right? So you know that I've been in situations like this where you have women talking about you, right? You have your friends or somebody right. that were your friends and they're talking about you. How do you handle that now where you're at in your life? Would you do what Kelly's doing, and that is just trying to defend herself? So now she's emotional and she's screaming. Or do you just say, fuck it, you want to believe I ran a train, or then believe it?
Right. And honestly, what's so wrong with running a train? Sounds like she had a good time doing it.
Right. Well, so that's...
I mean, you know what? So, like, this bitch is, like, making up rumors and shit. Just fucking call her out. Be like, why are you spreading lies? She's like, oh, I'm not, blah, blah, blah. And if she keeps doing it, be like, shut the fuck up or I'm just going to punch you in the face. And then go on about your business.
Right. Or, you know, my take on it now is that I probably used to be Kelly where I'd be like, I didn't do that, and want to defend myself. Defending yourself against a liar is pointless, right? Where
right.
I take the position of, fine, if you want to believe it, believe it. And I think a lot of us, like I said, I'm in the same situation. I've been in it for years, and I'm sure some of our listeners have been. You have a friend that turns on you and then turns these stories. Do we handle it like Kelly does and get in people's faces and yell? Or do you just say, whatever, you know my character. If you believe that, then that's on you. We're not real friends.
Exactly. Because if you feel like you have to scream and yell and defend yourself, what ends up happening is you look like a fucking jackass.
Well, that's the problem. She looks insane now.
Right. So you're just like, whatever, I don't care what that bitch is saying. Go on about your business. And if a friend is going, well, she said this and that, and go, you know, is it true or not? And you look at him, goes, what fucking difference does it make? I slept with 8 fucking men at once. Who gives a flying fuck? And I fucking enjoyed it. And or been like, damn, well, at least I wish I had done it.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. And if that's the worst things you can say about me. Now, the problem where I understand Kelly is getting mad is it's gotten back to her daughter. Right. Because now she's on a national platform. We're not. And most of our listeners aren't. When it affects your kids, then that's another thing. Now the mama bear comes into me and I'm going to come fighting for you. However, if it's Sabrina's done this, Sabrina's done that, whatever. Fuck you.
Exactly.
Say it who you want to say it. Now, what if you heard it opposite? What if somebody was saying it to you about me? Do you ignore it as a friend, or would you stand up and say something?
I would totally say something.
Right.
I've been like, well, A, you know, is it true? And of course, you could be like, well, of course it's true.
Or I heard it from so-and-so. Yeah.
And I'm like, you're fucking spreading rumors. Shut your mouth.
Right.
Nobody likes a fucking snitch. Snitches get, was it? Oh, wait. Bitches get snitches. No one's had that shit backwards. And then, you know what? I'd be like, I would go to you and be like, this bitch is saying this about you. And you need to be careful, like, watch your back. You know what I mean?
Right. So that's where I agree with you. And that's where, again, in this reality show that people probably watch, is that they have a third friend that is kind of playing in between and just not saying anything. And I'm not that friend. If I was sitting at a table and somebody was talking about you in a way that I knew was against your character, that I would say, that doesn't sound like Tabby. That doesn't sound like the person I know.
Right.
And exactly. I don't think, and I even said that the other day to my husband. He said something sideways about one of my friends, and I looked at him and I said, don't ever do that again. And later on that night, I said it again. I said, don't talk about her like that. That's my friend.
Was he talking about me?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, he just got to ask.
Yeah, no, he wasn't. Swear on my kid's life, he wasn't. But he was, okay. He said it about, like, he was just making a joke, and he was like, I didn't mean it. I said, I don't care. Don't talk about my friends like that. And
right.
And that's the kind of friend I am. But to defend myself, I don't really care. Talk about what you want about me.
Exactly. There's whatever. I don't care.
Right.
Run your mouth.
Right.
And you, look, as long as the bitch ain't paying my bills, I really don't give a shit what she's saying. You
right.
Know
and
I mean?
Shit, running a train with 8 guys could pay my bills.
Right? Especially if it's the right 8 guys.
Right, yeah. Like, we're not talking about budget, guys. You need to have some
money.
No. So, yeah, hey, if you're watching Real Housewives of Orange County, if your team Vicky, Team Kelly, let me know, because I'm watching. I know some of our listeners do. Tabby's not going to know what we're talking about, but let us know.
Not a fucking clue. All I hear is Team Chlamydia.
That was Southern Charm, but yeah, you're right. All right, so here's the next thing that came up. Okay. The new girl, Bronwyn, brought up while she was in the hot tub that her and her husband have been married for 19 years. Mm-hmm. And for big holidays or birthdays, when he turned 40, they had a threesome.
Okay.
And the other women were like, oh, what? I can't. And she was like, yeah, not an everyday thing, not an every year thing, but every once in a while we'll have a threesome, which I also heard this from the rapper T-Pain. Do you remember last weekend I made you listen to rap songs?
Oh, yes. And you know what? That song. What was it?
Which one are you talking about? The Lizzo song?
Yes, that one. It came on the radio the other day, and I was driving home, and I'm like, motherfucker, this is a song Sabrina made me listen to.
Why men like, great got till they gotta be great. Yeah.
And then I was like, shit, I'm starting to like this shit. And I'm like, oh, Sabrina's corrupting my brain.
I know. That's right. Look, you'll be listening to hip hop before you know it. So I also made you listen to a song called Girlfriend, which T-Pain, the rapper, saying like, me and my girlfriend need a girlfriend. And so okay. He said in an interview, he's been with his girl for over 15 years. And every once in a while, him and his wife will have a threesome. And all right. The interviewers were like, what do you mean? How can you do that to your marriage? So I want to know, what do you think? Do you think it's a good idea or a bad idea for marriages to bring another partner in there?
That solely depends on the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got two people that are secure and love each other and set their own boundaries and guidelines and stick to them, by all means, go have a fucking blast. But if you guys are insecure, you can't do it, it's not your thing, don't do it. So, like, for me, as a married woman, I am not into threesomes.
Right.
I cannot have a threesome. It goes against my moral code of cheating.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's with a bringing in a guy or a girl, can't do it.
Right.
So, I'm like, nope.
Ooh, I hope they couldn't just hear me burp.
Well, if they didn't, they know you did now.
No, that came from deep. But I agree with you on that. So I'm a very confident person. I'm very secure in my marriage. However, I don't like the thought of my husband kissing or touching someone else. And the interesting thing is both these people will only have a threesome with another woman. Which I think mm-hmm. is a big deal for a man, right? A man doesn't want to see his wife get pounded by another man. I get that. If I was ever going to do it, that'd probably be, like, right. I'd have to do it with a girl. However, I'm not going down on anybody, so I'm being the most selfish threesome person ever.
Yes, you would right. be. You would be very selfish.
Right. So they both would only do it with another female. And I think as long as the couples have agreed to it, and that's what they said, there can be no contact with that person outside of that threesome. So you have that threesome, you can't become friends on either side. The wife and the girl can't, and the husband and the girl can't. Because then right. that is cheating.
Yes.
Then I think that in society, there's these cute little things going on within people's marriages. And when you hear about it in public, the way that these other hoity-toity bitches on the Housewives heard last night, they were like, oh, well, I would never. When I was like, well, that doesn't sound so bad.
Well, you know, they're all like, oh, whatever. I would never. You're so fucking full of shit. You know you took a dick in the ass the other night just to please your man. So shut the fuck up.
Right. Exactly. Like, there's things going on behind closed doors that people act kind of judgy about, and it's not so bad. And if you've got T-Pain the rapper doing it, along with this hoity-toity rich Orange County bitch, that it might be more normal than we all know about, right?
It's pretty normal. I mean, you want to have a threesome, you have a threesome. I have heard of situations where people fucking have a live-in threesome.
I don't know about all that.
So, like, they all live together.
There's a name for that. I saw that on the Red Table Talk. It starts with a P. God, let's not try to guess it.
Polygamy?
No, it's polygamy? Not. It's not polygamy. There's a new name for it.
Oh, shit. I don't know. I can't keep up with all those fucking acronyms.
Right. But there's a new name for it. And they, where you said, it's a live-in girlfriend.
Right. Kind of like, what's that religion that they have multiple wives? And they he rotates the wives around?
The sister wives show thing. Yeah.
Yes. Whatever religion that is, I don't know.
Right.
Or culture.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if those fuckers can claim that to be a religion.
Mormons.
Oh, they do that?
I've heard. I think Mormons can have multiple. He can only legally marry one, but he can have multiple wives in their religious organization. Not like the modern Mormons, but
old school.
Ones way out. Yeah.
Why? But the women can't have multiple husbands.
Oh, hell no.
Would you want multiple husbands? No.
Actually, I would.
You would? What would you use each husband for? So Dion's the only one you're sleeping with, right? You better say yes, because he listens.
Yes.
So what do the other ones do?
No, like, so you could have someone out taking care of the cows and the animals, one taking care of the yard, the other one building a shed. I could have another one gardening. I could have another one cleaning my pool. I could have another one cleaning the house. Fuck yeah. I take all those sons of bitches.
You might have to sleep with them. That's a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, that's why there's like 8 of them.
Right?
It would be like the 8 house husbands on Dabby P Farms.
Exactly. You'd be running a fucking brothel there. Your own little cult.
Hey, as long as they put out as far as physical labor on the property, I don't care.
Right. Yeah, that's funny. So, I don't think I want multiple. I don't like having to take care of the family I have to take care of right now. That's a lot of work.
Well, I didn't say anything about children.
I know, right?
That's... I didn't. No. Just me and a bunch of guys.
A bunch of men, yeah. Yeah, what about multiple wives? Do you think that you could be one of many wives?
So, you know, okay, so let's be real straight up honest. Dion and I actually had this conversation.
Yeah.
And cultures that do it, like, he's like, you could have multiple women in here, and he's like, you would be the alpha female.
Right.
Right? So all the other women would have to, like, follow your order and all of that sort, you know, they would clean the house, cook dinner, take care of the children. It gives a relief to you because then the entire household load is no longer just on your shoulders.
Right.
Which is the same definition I gave to him about the men.
Yeah.
Now, he wasn't so happy about the men either because, well, you know, men don't like to share.
Right. Yeah. That's the biggest thing is men don't want to share. And that's where I suffer from is I'm not sharing my husband's affection. You want to come in and clean my fucking house and do my laundry and feed my kids? Great. Touch my man and you're fucking dead.
Pretty much. And that's kind of how I explained it to him. He's like, but what if it's a day that you're tired?
No, fuck you. All I got to do is lay there.
No, I don't just lay there. That's not acceptable.
Right. Listen, if I'm super tired,
and look, if I have to just lay there, there's some fucking lotion. Go help yourself.
I'm gonna spit out my monster. Oh, I'm gonna look for the lotion in your room next time I'm there.
Oh, never mind. I'm just gonna stay quiet.
So, okay, cool. Well, listen. Listeners, if you are having threesomes, don't write us about it because I don't want to know.
Okay, just write me because I totally want to know. I might put that shit in a book.
Right. Yeah, right. That's right. And speaking of, it's the holidays. You're working on your new book, but right now people can buy the original book. Let's just bring that up while I transition to the next topic. Let's say it. Where can they buy your book and what's the name of it?
Okay, so the book is called The Burden of Trust. The price no one expected to pay, and you can actually purchase it on Amazon. It's an ebook format and paperback, and we are working on putting it in Audible as well. So praying, hoping that it will be out before the new year, and we're also working on a hardback cover as well.
Beautiful. So if you're looking for a book to buy for a family member, friend, I've purchased them as gifts before. My sister, Sherlyn's a fan. She's waiting on the second book now, which Tabby is actively working on. go and support our girl. Support Tabby and her book, and you will not regret it. I went to a book signing, and everybody loved it.
Thank you.
So that's super cool. So great. Look, we just created an ad. Look at us. We're fucking professionals now.
Look at that.
I know. Hey, what?
I was our first sponsor.
I know. Look at that. All you have to do is pretend to like me. That's all you have to do. That's the cost. All right. So speaking of the holidays, that's what I want to talk about today is that we are in November. We've got Thanksgiving around the corner. One of my favorite holidays. And I want to talk about traditions. So
tradition.
Yes. This is what I have. I pulled this from this website called The Art of Manliness that defines traditions as family rituals, as any activity you purposely repeat together as a family that includes heightened attentiveness, something extra that lifts it above the ordinary routine. Traditions, when done right, lend a certain magic spirit and texture to your everyday life. That's probably hits the head on the nail for me of what Thanksgiving is.
Okay.
Because, I mean, Thanksgiving technically is what? We're celebrating the harvest.
Right.
So, I mean, to me, Thanksgiving is truly family time and tradition.
Yes.
Would you agree?
Yes, yeah. I would definitely agree with that. Yes.
So do you still keep your family traditions as a child, or how have you adjusted it now that you're married and have combined families?
So I don't keep my childhood tradition the same. I mean, other than the big dinner. And the reason, so when I was growing up, you know, mom would get up really early and she would cook and the whole family would come over. We'd eat. We'd all watch the Thanksgiving Day parade. Then we would have dessert. And then what we used to do, which is a lot of other people don't do, is used to go to the movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, on Thanksgiving Day.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that anymore. We kind of have people come over. We eat. We hang out, we watch football, and we just have a great day. Now, this year coming up, we're going to not have it at my house because my mom just moved to a brand new house. So she's
beautiful,
so excited.
New pool, too.
I know.
Did you see Did you see the way Doe invited us all over to her house, too?
Yeah, I did. I totally, yes, I did.
Look, I knew it'd be Doe or Jen, let's be honest.
Oh, yes. And we'll just leave it to Doe, because right. She's great at that.
Right. So you guys are having dinner at her house this year.
Yes, we are. Now, if we weren't having dinner at my mom's, because last year when I learned what Jen did for Thanksgiving, I was so jealous. So jealous. Because her son came home from leave, from military, and she wanted to spend all her time with her son and didn't want to have to spend her day in the kitchen cooking. And so she had it catered. And, you know, I was just curious, like, well, how much was that? She told me what it was. And I was like, that's about the same amount I spent on my fucking food.
Right.
And I still had to cook it.
Right.
And I said, no, 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 no. I'm like, next year, we're fucking having this shit catered. Because mama's done cooking.
So we call that here in this house, we refer to it as our holiday, our way.
Okay,
and,
nice.
And so, you know, where traditions are normally passed on from family to family or, you know, from generation to generation, you do things because it's the way you've always done it, right? We're supposed to get up and cook. We're supposed to, or in our case, my husband's family had their traditions already in place. We're the youngest to get married. He's the youngest by, you know, a decade and a half. So we were new to this. So I was coming into his family and having his family tradition. So even where like the food they eat is completely different, you know, where I'm used to like my dad's green bean casserole or my dad's stuffing, it's different here. And so for the first 10 years, we just took their traditions, which a lot of times was, you know, going and having this beautiful dinner. And the part that I do love is they do the movie afterwards. Okay. That's my favorite thing. I'd show up in my slippers. All my nieces did. My sister-in-laws did. We would sneak some turkey in there or some apple pie.
Yep.
The problem was that by the time I came, they didn't need anything from me, right? So it was like, all right, well, why don't you just make dessert? So I did. I used to make apple pie with my stepmom, so I would bring apple pie. But then I just became known as just bring apple pie. And so then I wasn't having those traditions with my own children of cooking food with them or the time in the kitchen that I enjoyed so much as a kid.
Okay, right.
So 4 years ago, we started to change that, which is something that I want to talk about, because when you blend families and come from marriage and you're bringing your tradition, their tradition, and starting to create your own, it causes some problems in the family, right? Of,
oh yeah.
Well, you guys are trying to change the normal. But the truth is we're just trying to find our own identity as a family. And
correct.
Our holiday, our way. Well, we found out just like you did, the cooking fucking sucks, right? I
mean, yeah. It's not this joyous Hallmark moment everyone makes it out to be.
Right. Now, I do like to have a formal sit-down dinner, like what we did at your house last year. We all made stuff. We all brought things. But we all sat down as a family. That yes. means a lot to me. That's the way I was raised. At Nate's family, they do this buffet, but then they're all kind of sitting wherever. I don't like that. I like the formalness of a formal dinner.
Correct. And it doesn't have to be formal as in like the setting where, because right. as you noticed, we used turkey paper plates and plastic forks and knives, and that's fine, but you have to be sitting around a table.
Right.
You know, I'm big, even in most regular dinners, I like us all to be at the table, to sit down together.
Me too. Well, you know, in this article, it talks about how important family dinners are, and that's what Thanksgiving brings, is the benefits of everybody sitting together and breaking bread.
Exactly.
Which really, if we go back in history, that's what those fuckers were doing, right? The Pilgrims and Indians, they were breaking bread and having conversations.
Right.
Which is nice. So we did decide this year that, and we took it to a vote, who wants to cook dinner at our house? And do you guys just want to go away for the holiday? And we voted to go away because it is expensive to cook Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, it's...
Oh, yes.
Once you're all in, it's, what, $200 to $300?
Minimum.
Yeah.
And that depends on how many people you have at your house.
Exactly.
Last year, I had 20-some people.
Right. So then it gets even more expensive. So we're going away to New York for Thanksgiving this year. And I don't know what we're eating on Thanksgiving Day, because the truth is, it doesn't really matter.
I know what you're eating for Thanksgiving.
What's that?
You're eating Chinese food, honey.
I hope so. Nate and I said that.
You're eating Chinese food, because nothing's going to be open on Thanksgiving in New York.
I hope so. So I have found these like little diners in Brooklyn where we're staying that said that they're going to be open. But like, that's what really matters, is that family time together.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this article, it says, and tell me if you agree or not, but this is just a really okay. nice article where it says, you know, why traditions are so important for a family is that it provides a source of identity, that traditions and rituals often tell a story about your family. So
okay.
I agree with that, right? Like, these traditions build who you are as a family.
Yes, I agree, because as a family, everybody needs to come together.
Right.
They really, really do. They need to, you know, kids off going basketball. This kid plays soccer. Dad's off to work. Mom's doing this. You know, everybody's off doing their own things, and everybody needs to come together and actually spend time with another instead of doing da 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 da. Do you know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Tabby had her face in her phone. That's what she was doing.
Yeah. That was my da 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 da.
Right. Right. Yeah, I agree. And it also says that it strengthens the family. Again, going back to, like you said, having dinner around a table. It's as simple as yes. that. Science has because proven. Go ahead.
Right. Because you get to see each other face to face. And you have a conversation. And this is the time where you're nourishing your body, but you're also nourishing your soul with, you know, your family members. So your kids come and talk to you about maybe something that's going on at school and or a hard situation that they're trying to deal with, that if you try to talk to them right after school, they're not going to want to talk to you and they're going to slam the door shut.
Right, right. And I think, and I don't know how many people still have family dinners together, but it's so important. And my life has transitioned with having a teenager or college student now. So that's been one of my biggest heartbreaks, is that we haven't been having family dinners. And I asked them, I was like, I just need two nights a week now. I understand we're all busy. We are all in sports and these things, but Wednesdays and Sundays, I need this. I need our family time. And last night we had dinner and everybody was laughing and joking around and cutting up. And I looked at them all, and like Nate was laughing so hard he was crying, and Ethan was laughing like a donkey, and Lorelai was grossing us out. And it just, I looked at them all and I was like, this is why it matters so much to me. So I do believe that it strengthens your family, and it offers comfort and security, right? Is that you know that this is what's going to happen on Thanksgiving.
Right.
Or any day. Or
any night.
Right. So this is the other thing. So in offering comfort and security, it says traditions can be particularly effective to those during times of change and grief, and that there comes comfort from our fast-paced and ever-changing world. It comforts us to know that we have a few constants in our life, that we know that our lives are so busy that on this one day, we all pause.
Oh, absolutely. Especially now more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because our lives are so fast-paced. And Thanksgiving is, you set that entire day aside. There's no work. There's no anything else. It's just family, and you guys are all together, and you sit down and you just enjoy each other's company. And right. Just, I love it.
Right. Yeah, me too.
Especially if someone's going through a hard time, like the constant you said. So, you know, if you've recently lost someone, you know Thanksgiving's going to be there, and you know family's going to be there, and you have that comfort, that blanket, that...
Yeah, that warm, fuzzy feeling, right? That...
Yeah,
I understand. She's speaking sign language right now. She's doing all kinds... This is why you guys got to watch her fucking videos. So,
I'm looking for a word right here, just like this.
Problem is, she's looking for me to fill in the blank, and I'm looking at her like... I don't know. When you start moving, I get distracted by your earrings, and I'm like, ooh, her earrings are cute.
Oh, yeah, I know. See? Hey, look, I'm wiggling.
Yeah,
I'm wiggling.
See? Don't. Yeah, you're going to
just like Jamie.
Yeah, you're doing the wiggle dance. So I agree with that. Is that so? My father passed away in January, and he loved Thanksgiving. He loved the way that it brought the family together, and that brings me comfort to know, like, I can make his stuffing and I still feel connected to him, right? That there's these connections, like you said, with the Macy's Day Parade. I grew up watching that. It was in the living room playing while my parents were cooking and we were helping cooking. The Braganzas didn't, like, my husband's side of the family, they didn't watch that because we didn't come over for dinner until later. So we would always kind of miss that tradition. So like last year when we were at your house, the fact that your mother-in-law watches it and Lorelai got up and ran over there in her pajamas and curled up on the couch, like that's the part of Thanksgiving that I love. The way that those traditions remind me of, oh, well, that's what I look like as a little girl.
Right. It's our legacy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome.
And then just like your dad passed down his stuffing recipe, you will pass that on to your children and them on to their children and their children.
Right. And so that's the next part. So look at you, girl. It says connects to generations. That in the book, The Secrets of a Happy Family, the author talks about how traditions connect us from generation to generation to generation.
Yes.
And that's the part I was longing for from my husband's side of the family, is that they were cooking the main parts of the meal. So my sister-in-law and my niece had this strong connection of these family recipes that were at their table. The problem was, is that my family recipes weren't there, right? And right. I wasn't having that time with my daughter and my son or my husband. And I longed for that and wanted that because it does disconnect you from your, especially if you live away from your family, it connects you back to home to have those traditions.
Right, exactly. So when Dion and I first got married, or when we first got together, the first couple of years, we went to his mom's, and then we went to my mom's. Or no, we went to my mom's first, because she always ate early. And then we went to his mom's. And we did that. We toggled between the two houses. And finally, Dion goes and says, okay, we're all in our same vicinity. You guys are coming here.
Right.
So he straight up told all the mothers, you're coming over. We're making Thanksgiving dinner. And then that's pretty much how it took over.
Right. So, and I love that because that's actually on my note here about divorced families and holidays with divorced parents, because that's the way I was raised. My parents were divorced and we had to, you know, we'd be at my dad's house first and then my mom's house in the evening. And then there's the stress of, well, did you eat too much of the other house? Or, oh man, there's all these leftover, like the second parent always got the shaft, right? Because you were still full from the first dinner. And so then it was difficult to navigate all that. And I went home once while married with Nate and our son, and my parents hadn't combined their holidays yet. He was exhausted. We went to three different homes. My dad, my stepmom, because they had already divorced. So my dad's house, my stepmom's house, and then my mom's house. And then you're trying to eat as much as you can at each house so that you don't upset anybody. And
yep. But did you take three plates home of leftovers?
I don't remember. I just know it felt stressful and full. And you could tell that the parents were also disappointed, right? Because when I was younger, I didn't understand it. Now that I long for my family and my family's changing, as I'm sure like Dion and you with your stepson moving away. And then, you know, when you get to see him, you're so excited and you're hoping for all day, but then it's only 3 hours and you're disappointed. I used to hold that against my parents. Now that I'm older and I have older kids, I get that all that they were longing for were these traditions and time.
Exactly. So the first year we did Thanksgiving at the house we're in now, Colton came over. And so normally he comes over the day before Thanksgiving, spends the day, and then he stays with us throughout Thanksgiving dinner because we normally eat early around 1 or 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has to go visit his mom afterwards, right? But the tradition was, so I, first time making Thanksgiving dinner, had 20-some people. So I made mashed potatoes, and I've got Dion and Colton peeling all these mashed potatoes. Well, I made 15 fucking pounds of mashed potatoes because I didn't know how much you were supposed to make.
Right.
I was like, what, a pound of potatoes for each person? There we go.
Right. That's a lot of potatoes.
So poor Alan. Alan's trying to fucking mash the potatoes. You know those big crab pots, those boil pots?
Yeah, like a crab boil pot, yeah.
That was full of fucking mashed potatoes.
Oh my God. What did you do with all those potatoes? You had to eat a lot of fucking shepherd's pie after that.
So we made shepherd's pie, we made potato pancakes, we couldn't feed it to the pig because we already ate the pig, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We had a lot of mashed potatoes, and we gave a lot away.
Right. Yeah, here, take home some potatoes.
Yeah, take like 3 pounds. Here you go.
Right. And that's kind of the fun part of creating your own traditions, right? Is making those mistakes.
Yes. It was fun.
Right, and funny, and those memories that will always, because I know by the year that I came to your house, they're still talking about those fucking potatoes.
I know. Yes, and it was only the year after.
Yeah.
And Alan was like, my God, you didn't make that many mashed potatoes again, did you?
Right.
Because I'm not kidding. The man had mashed potatoes all the way up past his elbow.
Right.
That's his fucking elbow.
That's crazy. That's a lot of potatoes.
Yeah, it is. And then I had prepped all this food, and Doreen's like, what is this? I was like, that's the stuffing. She's like, oh, shit, honey. No, 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 no. She's like, that's too dry. I was like, well, I followed the recipe. She's like, well, your recipe sucks.
Let me take my, well, first of all, do you realize in the South they don't call it stuffing?
What do they call it?
Motherfucker, I forgot the word. Because
stuffing.
We call it stuffing because I'm sure your mother probably made it like mine did. Do they used to stuff it up the fucking bird?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, they call it dressing. And oh, my sister
calls it dressing. I grew up in Virginia, which is a southern ass motherfucking state, and we call it stuffing.
No, so the southerner, like true southerners, they call it dressing, which dressing to me is salad dressing, but my sister-in-law is the master of making dressing, what we would call mm-hmm. stuffing. And there's this texture thing about the wetness that I'm sure Doe was mm-hmm. referring to. And the other sister-in-laws and I stare at her while she makes it every year of how does she do it? And it's because she's learned from generation to generation of how it's supposed to feel, the wetness under it.
Yes.
That makes exactly. the perfect stuffing.
Correct. And it's stuffing, not dressing.
Listen, I call it stuffing too. But they say...
And I made it homemade. There was none of that stovetop shit either.
Right. No,
not that I don't like stovetop, but you know.
Yeah, they make it the same way. Like with the breadcrumbs and
yes.
chicken stock and all that shit.
I had spent an hour tearing apart pieces of bread, just like this. I was like, all right, come on.
Yeah, so I don't like it. I don't like stuff.
You don't like... Or dressing. Which one?
I don't like stuffing or dressing. I like my father's stuffing, which is, you know, with apple juice. And it's like a more sweet and savory
okay.
type than a general southern stuffing. Let's just keep calling it fucking stuffing. Because this has been a thorn in my side for 15 years. I like my father's sweet, and there's some apples cut into it, and I really like that. I'm just not a stuffer.
I want to try that.
I'll make it for you sometime.
Okay.
Only on Thanksgiving, though, because that's the only time we ever make it.
Apparently not this year, but next year.
Right, because I'll be eating Chinese food in Chinatown, right. Maybe.
There you go.
So, that's kind of the fun about Thanksgiving, though, right, is the memories that you're creating. So how do you suggest, because as married couples and most of our listeners, who knows, maybe they're married, maybe they're not, maybe they're starting new families and creating traditions. I can tell you when I decided and our family decided our holiday, our way, it creates drama within a family, right? Because mm-hmm. they're used to everybody doing it together. But you have to kind of incorporate your own childhood traditions, his own childhood traditions, and then create our own as the family of four that we are.
Right. I didn't have a problem with it. My mom was more than happy to pass the baton. She's like, yep, we'll fucking have Thanksgiving at your house. I'll show up with the pie. Yep, absolutely. And
you know why? Because those fuckers have been lying to us for decades. It's so much hard work.
It's so much harder.
Right. So she was probably like, yeah, Tabby, go ahead. Go ahead, Tabby. You should totally do it. What did you say?
Did you ask me a question?
No, I said your mom probably totally set you up and was like, yeah, Tabby, go ahead. You go ahead and do it. And thinking this shit's a lot of work.
Yeah, no, totally set me up. She's like, yeah. You got this great big house. We can all come over and you can make Thanksgiving dinner. Absolutely. She knew how hard it was.
Right.
I've seen that woman cook a Thanksgiving dinner in that camper.
Really?
You know that camper? Yes.
Holy shit.
Yes. Pretty much. Now that was fun. We had, for a while there, we had a Thanksgiving tradition. My moms would go camping. And then everybody would just show up and we'd have Thanksgiving dinner at a campground.
Like old fashioned fucking pilgrims and Indians.
Well, yeah.
Nice. I like
the cars and the campers. Right? But yes. The modern, you know.
The modern day version.
Except for. Right.
Right. So that, you know, that goes along with, you know, your holiday, your way, that it doesn't really matter where you're at, as long as, you know, as a family. And I'm not sure where my family lands on this now. All I know is it's our choice.
Yep.
It's a holiday that we, like you said, everybody turns off. It is a day that is 100% family oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people cling to and love so much about it.
And I love it when everybody comes over and the kids go run around the yard. They're playing on the tire swings. All the cousins are together. Or everybody wants to go see the animals. And it's just, it's good old-fashioned fun.
It is, you know? Yeah.
My mom, Pam, had said to me, goes, I just love that you have this house and the kids get to come out here and experience it. It reminds me of when I used to go to my grandparents' farm.
Mm-hmm. That reminds, when I was a kid, we used to sometimes travel up to my great uncle Jim's house in Ohio. And mm-hmm. we'd go, and it was the same thing. Like, you know, there'd be this little tiny TV with the parade playing, and my sisters and I would go outside and play in the snow, and our cousins would come, and we'd only see these cousins once a year because they live so far. And my dad would get to see his cousins, and it's just generations sitting together. The wives would be cooking, the husbands would be cooking, there'd be people downstairs playing pool. It is a family time to get together, which I do miss that part of it now, that, you know, because we live all the way on one side of town and our family right. still is doing their thing, that I miss that part of it. But what it has meant to my immediate family of four is what's more important, unfortunately, of we didn't feel like we were spending the time like we wanted to.
Right.
So then
that makes sense.
Yeah. And we've been lucky to not have any drama on holidays, but that was when I was Googling traditions, that came up too. So you always see those fun holiday movies about...
Oh, the Lifetime holiday movies that come out, like Christmas in July?
Right, but you know, normally it's like this aunt fighting with this aunt or this, like... So one Easter I went home and my dad has two ex-wives in Virginia Beach and his current wife, so my stepmom. They've been doing it for some years, had Easter together. So my dad had, we had Easter at my mom's house. I was cooking. My stepmom brought a ham, but then my dad was there. His current wife, so my stepmom was there. My first stepmom was there and my dad's ex-wife, my mom was there. So my dad was there with three people had been married to.
Wow.
That makes for a perfect shit show movie, right? Of this person not liking this person. But thankfully, none of that happened. But I imagine in most families or homes across the world, or not most, but some, holidays bring drama too, right?
Oh, I bet. We didn't have any drama, but I'm assuming so. Because in our house... this is a no drama zone.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're coming and you're bringing drama, you might as well turn your happy ass back around.
Right.
We ain't got time for that.
Right. Have you ever had to deal with it and kick anybody out because of it? Or you've been fortunate enough that you just have great people in your life?
Fortunate enough that we just had great people in our life. We've never had to like kick anybody out, mm-hmm. but, You know the way Dion is. If someone starts something, he's going to call him out, put him in the place. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have drama. And I love that.
Right. Right. Well, that's good. And we don't either. I mean, thankfully, my husband's side of the family they all love each other. And it's such a warm feeling over there that there was no drama or weirdness. I think us, the revolution of us four was probably it was probably the worst drama of, and having that, and I still don't know if they understand, but you know, we needed to set our own traditions. We've never had anything like the movies that you see, like Four Christmases or My Two Wives and all that crazy stuff.
Well, you did kind of have My Three Wives with your dad, so.
I know, but they all get along. It's a little bit disappointing, because I'd love to see a bit, you know, a full-on... No, I wouldn't. She's giving me dirty looks.
No. No, you wouldn't. No.
No, but...
Really? Could you imagine your mother getting into a shit show with those other ladies? She'd take off her slipper and beat them with it.
Well, let me tell you, though. My dad, my stepmom now, she is a feisty woman. And I think all three of them could handle themselves if they had to. So I'm glad we've never, thankfully, they're all ladies enough that we've never had to. And enough time has passed. But, you know, I did pull an article from psychcentral.com of how to deal with family drama on the holidays. Just in case, I mean, we haven't had to deal with it, but just in case our listeners have, most of it's pretty simple. It's like, well, kind of like what you said, set boundaries. You have rules in your house of what you're going to allow and put up with, right?
Yep, exactly.
And at the time,
stick to those boundaries.
Yeah, stick to them. That's the most important thing. And as a kid, it didn't make sense. There's no way that my parents could have had merged holidays back then. Because, you know, there was still animosity about children, as divorced families do. But eventually, when you start to have grandchildren, it's nice to do what you and Dion said of, hey, let's just do this together.
Everybody, just come together.
Right. Let's all do it together. The next tip is just to brush it off.
Right.
Great advice. Just like what we were talking about in the OC, Real Housewives. If there's drama, brush it off. Who cares? It's one day.
Exactly. I mean, everybody's got to remember, as wonderful as this holiday is, it is still a very stressful holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have to take that into consideration. So if someone accidentally snaps at you, don't fucking lose your shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Really? A second monster already?
Hey.
I thought you were quitting this shit.
I am. But listen, it's Thursday and I've only had 4. And by now I would have had 12.
Good God.
Let's celebrate the small victories, Tabby.
The small victories. Yes. Well, if it makes you feel any better, the monster that you left at my house, I poured out.
Oh, it was opened, wasn't it?
Yes.
I forgot all about that one.
I know. I was going to go like try it, and I was like, oh, this is flat. Nope.
Here's a tip. Pour it into like some Crystal Light or pour it into one of your seltzer drinks. I like to mix my shit sometimes.
You tell me that now that it's down the drain.
Just future.
Now what I'm supposed to do. Okay.
Monsters also mix well with wine. I've done all kinds of crazy shit. Yeah, it does. Vodka, 100%.
Vodka, Monster, and some Crystal Light makes a badass. Oh, or the other one is a Monster and White Claw.
See? And then a little bit of fresh lime, and bitches, you got a cocktail.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. You got a basic bitch drink.
That's right. There. So speaking of, that's tip number 3, limit the alcohol.
Yes.
Which I could see, you know, alcohol becoming an issue at family holidays. It's never been an issue, surprisingly, on ours.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I can remember.
Or sometimes it's a necessity.
Yeah, it's true, right? Yeah. Number 4 is basically just find your reasons to be grateful, right? Count your blessings that, yeah, old Aunt Margaret might get on your fucking nerves. Or, yeah, maybe your parents might come and they're going to nitpick everything. But count your blessings that your child gets to spend time with your grandparents, right? Or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. And count your blessings that they're nitpicking at you, because there are people in this world that would give their left nut to be with the family on a holiday.
Yeah, for sure, right? Yeah.
Yep.
100%. Try to enjoy yourself. You know, this says, as crazy as your families can make us, they are ours, and nothing is quite like the holidays without them, which is just like you said. It's, you know, you don't know until it's too late that you miss that family member or that friend or whoever it was that was part of your tradition. And just enjoy the moment.
Exactly.
And then have someone to talk to. So so for me, like at my...
Like a therapist?
No, it says look, I almost tossed that aside. Your partner, your child, a friend. That, you know, if you have to be texting your friends and like, my mother-in-law's driving me crazy.
Right.
Then just get it out. Or, you know, the look from your husband. My husband winks at me when things are uncomfortable or what. He'll just wink at me. And then I'm like, okay. And my sister-in-law is the same thing. She's a winker. When it's uh-huh. That just makes you know, like, all right, they get it. Let's keep going. My niece used to text me, and we would text and talk about people while we were sitting there and make fun of the other people in the room. So, you know, get it out however you can.
See, that would not work for me. Dion would give me a sign, and I'd be like, huh? What are you trying to tell me in front of fucking everybody? I would totally ruin it. Right. You know, little subtle things do not work with me.
So you...
I'm horrible.
You would need a whole pair. That's why sometimes when I text Tabby, she'll be like, huh? What?
Pretty much.
It's so that I have to explain it out?
Oh, yes. You totally have to explain it out. I tell Dion, I'm like, I'm not good with nuances. Is that the right word?
I think so.
They get the... Okay.
I think so.
I'm sure your sister will correct me.
I know. Fucking know it all. Let's see if she gets that far in this episode.
Ooh.
I love my sister. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. So you need a full description. So if we're going to bitch to Tabby, let's make sure we give her the full description of what we're talking about.
Oh, absolutely. Because there's no like, I'm going to wink at you and that. Like, what the fuck is wrong with your eye? Like, I don't understand. Right. Are you okay? Do you need medicine? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Right.
And everybody's looking at me going, what the fuck is wrong with you?
That's so funny. So,
it's true.
Yes. And I was trying to think, Nate had a moment with, I think almost all of us were around, where he brought up something and I looked at him like, mm-hmm. And he's like, what? Mm-hmm. What? And he wasn't getting it. And he kept repeating what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, you could see and he was like, oh, never mind. And I was like, you asshole. You weren't supposed to say it, but he wasn't getting it.
I understand, Nate. Right. I sympathize with your pain.
Right. So now on Thanksgiving, then the next thing that always comes is Black Friday.
Oh, gosh.
Are you into Black Friday?
Online in my pajamas.
Yeah.
That's how I fucking do Black Friday.
Uh-huh.
So look, I was with someone whose family tradition was Black Friday. They got up at 3 o'clock in the morning and went shopping. They had, when you got to Macy's, they'd have these little snow globes that they give away for free. They had, I would say, 20 or 30 of those snow globes with different years on them.
Oh, because they have to get it every year.
They have to get it every year, and then they would go shopping. And I remember going, and I was like, I need a Monster, and nobody's allowed to talk to me for 2 hours.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
So did you just do it that one time?
It was that one year, yes.
Yeah.
But since then, I don't want to go out and deal with people. Hell, I don't want to go to Walmart at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. What makes you think I want to go deal when everybody's psychotic?
Right.
And, you know, and then here's the other thing that totally blows my mind. We spend Thanksgiving saying we should be thankful and so happy for everything and that we have and count our blessings. And the next day we're like, fucking buy everything.
Right.
I need this. To hell with you. My kid wants that Susie Q doll, whatever the fuck it is, but I have to get it.
I know. I worked at Kmart when I was in high school, right after high school and in college, and that's when the fur babies came out.
Oh, good God.
And they had to strategically place them all over the fucking store because it was a madhouse to get to those fucking fur babies.
Uh-huh.
It's insane.
Yes, I know. Not when I don't want nothing to do. I can go online. I go Amazon, click, 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 click. Oh, yeah, click. And it shows up at my door.
So when you say you're doing it online, so you're not actually going to, like, say JCPenney's online, like the normal stores, Walmart.com, the big box stores that have Black Friday sales, you're not going to their websites, or are you utilizing that online? Oh.
So normally what I do is the week prior to, you can check the stores, mm-hmm. see which stores are going to have the discounts for the items that you want. I make a list, put it on bookmarks. I go in, click, 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 click. and I get all my discounts and all my orders.
Right. So I do the same thing. So, but I did have that experience that you did. My sister-in-laws and in-laws, they are big Black Friday shoppers. And so one day my sister, one Black Friday, my sister-in-law talked me into doing it. My mother-in-law babysat the two boys, and overnight they went home with her on Thanksgiving night after the movie. And I spent the night on Marie's couch and woke up at the butt crack of dawn. Riri, Kim, and I went to JCPenney's and stood out in the fucking cold and waited for the doors to be open because we had to be the first people in there. And we did this all day where eventually you could find me in the food court at the mall like this.
Uh-huh. My head. And for those of you listening, Sabrina has got her head on the desk going, please, for the love of God, I need some sleep.
I was so tired. And they were still shopping.
I don't know how these women do it.
They love it, but it is, it's a tradition for them, right? Like, so like you said, with that 30 snow globes, it's their tradition to do it. I tried it and was like, not for me.
Nope. Not for me.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
I'll kill somebody.
Right. Now, I do understand the, like, some people do it for the fun and tradition. I think some people do it because there are some great deals and you can save money and it's a necessity. Like for me, so Tabby's shaking her head no, but like the one thing that I always buy is jeans on Black Friday because Old Navy and JCPenney's have $10 deals for jeans. And I would always buy them on Black Friday before they started doing it online. On the way home from our family's house in Mandarin, we would stop at our local one because it opens now at what, like 11 o'clock on Thanksgiving. Yeah, the days become earlier and earlier. I would send Nate in there while I sat in the car with Ethan, and he would stand in line, buy exactly what he needed, and an hour later he'd come out, and I saved $20 per pair of jeans, and that was worth it for me. But that was the only thing that I needed. On Black Friday.
And let's be real. You didn't do Black Friday. You made your husband fucking do it for you.
I know. I'm really bad about that. Remember, I was voted the laziest person in this house.
Yes. By Lorelai, she fucking ripped you apart that day. She's like, nope. She's disciplining from the couch. She's not getting up.
Right. They look, I came home and we voted on it. And I've been voted the laziest person in the house.
That's crazy.
My goal is really to lay on my ass most days if I can. So I participate in Black Friday the way you do now. It's because of like blackfriday.com. They release the copies of the ads. And I buy not even so much things for Christmas as just things that I need, right? Like kitchen stuff goes on a great sale. But I do most of my shopping online now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's great.
Oh, I buy Dion's work clothes at this point because they always have such great deals that I'm like, I can't beat it. And I'm stocking up for the year.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that online shopping is going to be the death of box retail shops?
Absolutely. So let me get my thoughts. So did you hear Forever 21 is closing?
Yes.
Okay. Retail shops are going to go away, and it's going to be all online, and it's going to be through all consultants. The number one U.S. skincare company is Rodan and Field, which you can only buy through a consultant. The number one skincare company is not Oil Valet. It is not Estee Lauder. Is not these other companies that you can go into Walmart or the counters at Macy's.
Mm-hmm.
Rodan Fields used to be a Nordstrom and pulled them out.
Right.
Because they knew that it sells better from word of mouth and the trust that you have between a consultant and a customer.
Right.
And they're doing that for everything. Beachbody, they're doing it for Thrive, Level, they're doing it for there's some CBD oil companies, hair companies, shampoos. I mean, everything is going to be a direct sales company.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? So the reason I asked that question is because of Forever 21 going out of business and pulling out. Well, Yeah, no, they filed bankruptcy, so they're completely going out of business. Well, that's because, let's be honest, they sold shitty disposable clothes that...
And a lot of it.
Yes.
Like, you go into the store, and there was too much, and you'd feel overwhelmed, and you'd walk out with nothing.
Right, I agree. It was all shit. And they had a two-story store at the Avenues Mall. Like, who needs that? That's obsessive and unnecessary.
And it's not even about the shitty clothes either, because young teeny boppers need cheap clothes.
They do.
Let's just be real.
Yeah.
Okay? But they weren't even going and buying it anymore because Forever 21 was not providing the experience that the millennial needed.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying that they need it through a consultant of some sort?
Or online, yes.
Right.
Because when you work with a consultant, so like if someone comes to me and goes, Tabby, I need skincare. I go, okay, what are your concerns?
Mm-hmm.
And then they tell me and I talk to them about what's going on, what's bothering them. And then I make my recommendations and we go together and we figure it out. There's a problem with your account. They have my cell phone number. They call me up and go, hey, this got shipped and it wasn't supposed to, or however. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Sorry.
You've always got someone. No, that's okay. You've always got someone covering your back. Unlike if you walk into Forever 21, you buy a shirt and it rips after you've worn it. They tell you, well, too fucking bad. Sorry.
Right. And I also think, you know, because of, so I noticed on Target the other day is I went to do a bridal registry. I went to go pick it up for somebody for a bridal shower. And you can now do a shop online, pick it up in the store, or even the same as Walmart, where they can take it out to your car, which, by the way, I did not select. But next time I will be selecting, because then I went into Target and spent more fucking money.
Right.
So then it made me start thinking about what we're talking about now, is that most people shop online. And yes, the convenience of shopping online.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the stores are receiving less revenue, because when I shop online, I'm just clicking away, right? And you're just filling up this cart. When you visually see it in a shopping cart, you're like, ooh, do I need that? Ooh, no, I don't need that. When you're doing it online, it doesn't really seem real until all the shit shows up at your door.
Exactly. So that's very similar to when we made a transaction, we made a transition between cash and debit cards.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everybody used to use cash only. That's
right.
How you paid for shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody uses a debit card. Well, a debit card, as Dave Ramsey says, is this little magical thing, because when you give your cash away, you feel it.
Right.
But you don't feel the pain when you spend something with a debit card.
Right, exactly.
And that's why online shopping is so more pleasurable,
mm-hmm,
because it heightens all your endorphins. Oh my gosh, this is so much fun. Oh, look, ding, ding, ding. And then you don't see the results of your action until it's too late.
Right, yeah, yeah. Or receive the, and I think this is the other thing, is that if you want to think about it from the other side, from the pleasure side, is you get pleasure twice. Once when you've hit complete on your order and you're like, ooh, I got new stuff coming. And then the next, when it comes to your door and you're like, ooh, my new stuff is here. Like, there's an...
Exactly. It's like Christmas.
Yeah. All fucking year long.
Oh, yeah. Because I fucking love to open up boxes.
So does Lorelai.
I just love...
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It doesn't even have to be for me. I just want to open the box.
Right. That's what every time an Amazon box comes, Lorelai, can I open it? Yeah, it's daddy's whatever. I don't care. Can I open it? Sure, whatever.
It's exciting.
Yeah, yay! She enjoys it. Yeah. So I think that online shopping is going to be the death of these big box stores. Besides like boutiques and smaller stores that don't have the online capabilities, the fear that I have from that convenience is, what happens to the employees? Is the death of big box stores then going to result in a drop of the employment rate?
I don't think so, because you also have to remember it's also being replaced with direct selling companies. Mm-hmm. So direct sales offers a huge employment opportunity and a more flexible opportunity right. as well. So as a Rodin and Fields consultant, I can work from anywhere mm-hmm. that I have a Wi-Fi signal.
Right.
That's it. All I need is this. I can go out in the middle of my yard and work. I'm not tied to a desk. I don't have to go into office. I don't clock in. I have no limit on my salary, mm-hmm. which means I can make as much money as I want to make.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And as much as I'm willing to work for it, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I just fear that those opportunities aren't enough for, let's say, the part-time employees, you know, like college or high school students that are currently taking those cashier's desks.
And I say no, because there are 22-year-olds in my company that make $1 million or more.
Mm-hmm.
And they just graduate from college.
Right. But what about like 16, 17-year-olds that are just working through high school part-time jobs?
Well, I guess they would, you know, they'd stick to the fast food stuff mm-hmm. or they would do it. Because I don't know if you, I think you have to be 18 to be a direct selling. I don't know. I think for Rodin Fields, you have to be 18, but the other companies, I don't know.
Right. And the other question and concern or group of people that I'd have concern for is, say, like somebody that isn't as sophisticated with a network to go to this consultant job. So let's just say if somebody of a lower class of you know, and I'm talking not economy, but money-wise, you know, we have these...
Economic
side, yeah, that those positions wouldn't be there. Where I hope that the gap gets filled is that if they're replaced by online orders, then more warehouses are going to be needed, right? The inventory is going to have to be processed some mm-hmm. way.
Exactly. And you're going to have people filling the boxes, shipping it out, putting the labels on, and doing all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not to be a big proponent, you know, pushing the DS again, but those things, you don't have to be... you know, super savvy to do it.
Right.
You have a leader, you have someone teaching you how to do it, and you go in, and for me to start my business, it cost me $45.
Right. You know what's another option, too, is that our friend was telling me the other day about, you know how they have Uber Eats and Uber, that now they have these shopping things. I can't remember what it's called, but you can be employed by an app that sends you somebody else's shopping list to Target. And so you go, you buy the shit, and you bring it to their house. Hello. Uh-huh.
I've used it.
Fucking amazing.
It's Instacart.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's really, really awesome. You make your grocery list right here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they send it off. You can actually watch the person from where they are drive to the store. Watch as the items get checked off your list that they've picked up, and then you can see them drive to your house.
Right.
Check the whole thing. And it's really, it was a good experience. I liked it, right? I don't necessarily think I'm going to do it again because did not prove to be as cost effective for me.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean? But I love the concept.
Right. Well, and for obviously for us or for as the consumer, it's very convenient, right, to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
As the person doing the shopping, I can tell you that what this friend told me was that she had to go to Target. She picked her local, like certain stores that she wanted to be shopping at for other people. Went to Target, grabbed like 6 fucking things, and made $25. Well, minimum wage in Florida is 8 something an hour. She made $25 in one fucking shopping trip.
And all she had to do was be 16 and have a driver's license.
Right, or whatever it might be, 18 or whatever it might be. I think it might be 18, at least for Uber or Uber Eats,
okay.
But just because of liability. But you're going to make more than you would as a cashier. So as those job opportunities are becoming or decreasing, there's still a need to deliver and pick up these items mm-hmm. or whatever it might be. My second concern is now the empty buildings, right? So Forever 21 is now leaving our local stores. We have one big one in our town here, but now there's going to be an empty building at this mall. And if people are shopping more at online, so JCPenney's is now in bankruptcy, in other stores, what do we start to do with these empty buildings? Because it could ruin real estate overall in our communities.
Right. Having the empty buildings. Yeah, I don't know what we could do with those buildings. I mean, you could always take them and convert them into, low-income housing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, facilities for homeless mm-hmm. and, you know, or elderly.
Right. Right. Well, you'd want to do something. The other thing I thought of is, couldn't they just tear them down and, let's say, plant trees again? So even though we're going backwards in what we're doing, is that that's creating land again, right? And agriculture and oxygen and all this other stuff that we're kind of just recycling it.
Right. And I guess that really depends upon the person who owns the mall because, you know, the store is leased from the mall owner.
Right.
Right. You know, so they would have to figure out what to do with it. Probably, depending on how big it is, they'd probably sell it to a developer and put another housing community there.
Right, exactly. Or another type of, like you said, fill it in. Like, we've got an empty mall here in town that they've now converted to a college campus of some sort. Because you also have to be careful of what you fill it in with so it's not affecting the entire community. You know, like, mm-hmm. could you imagine the fucking uproar if they shipped a bunch of homeless people in there?
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you have to be careful, but you have to be mindful of, all right, well, as a result of online shopping, we're going to have these empty buildings. What do you do with it? So it's not ruining the community. And I mean, I have no idea. It'll be interesting to see what they start doing with these buildings.
It will be. And especially when more and more malls start closing down.
Right.
So, I don't know if Virginia Beach is like this, but up in Virginia, they have all these little shopping strips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what's going to happen with all of those when eventually those disappear?
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
It's going to be interesting because they're everywhere and they're right there on the highway.
Right. And what brings... So the way that a shopping center works or even a mall is those big anchor stores is what they call it. So... the big stores, whether it's a Walmart or Target or Publix, and then all those smaller stores, they get the customer feed off from that big store. Well, if these big box stores are closing down, it affects mm-hmm. the smaller stores in that shop, the hair cutteries, the this, the that, the dry cleaner, the liquor store, the Chinese restaurant, the deli, all of that. You know, it's a chain of events. So for me, it's going to be interesting. And we're not talking about the next year, but the next few years of how this is going to change commercial real estate.
Right. Because if those anchor stores disappear, those little ones will be gone.
Yeah, it's impossible.
It's those anchor stores that drive down the rent cost.
Right. Yeah. It's impossible to keep the traffic in without a big box store.
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody's just going to drive to this Chinese place because it's there.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Now, I wonder if it's just most people I know online shop. I hate to assume that people aren't going to the store, but maybe there are. Maybe there are just people that are addicted to the experience of shopping.
Yes. So some people are. I still go to the store for some things, depending on what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely like to go to the store to buy my meats, to buy my produce, and to buy my clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things I do not like to order online.
Right.
And there's a few reasons. I want to see my meat before I buy it, or play with it, depending on which one we're talking about. I want to check out my produce. Mm-hmm. I want to feel my melons. I want to make sure I'm getting the good one.
You sure do talk dirty.
I do. Wow.
All right. So your meats, your melons, and what's next?
Clothes.
Nice.
Because I got to make sure the shit's going to fit over my ass.
So I'm the same way. Yeah.
Yeah. And those three things. But everything else, I can freaking get that online. I mean, I love it. I get a Sam's Club card. I go online. I order all my big stuff in bulk.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's why I love Sam's Club. And then I'm like, deliver. And it costs me an extra $15. But I don't have to drive 30 minutes to Sam's Club now. And it shows up at my door.
Right. Well, so I'm the same way. Like, I do buy clothes online, but that's only once I know a particular brand and jean. Like, for example, my jeans, I will buy them online now. I would have never guessed before because I'm taller. I don't have an ass. And,
right.
And I have to try everything on. Once I know it, then I'll order online. Once I know the brand, the style. I like to, this is the other thing is that, so I have this little fan, right? I went to buy an Amazon Prime fan for Lorelai. I got her a pink one. I'm just going to prime it. She needed a floor fan because she said her room was too hot. So I found a good deal on Amazon and I had it shipped to our house and it came in the mail and I'm looking at it over there. It's this big. So
that's not going to do much for her floor.
And it's a USB fan. So I didn't read the directions or the descriptions.
Description.
And
that is the downside of online shopping. So you're like, oh, shit, I didn't mean to order that.
Right. So here I ordered this floor fan, and here came a fan that's about the size of my palm, and Nate's laughing at me. And by this time, it's not fucking worth it to mail it back. And you guys all know how sweaty I am, so it does get usage now on my desk, but...
Yeah, because you go under your arm. You're like, ooh, this feels so good.
Right?
You don't have to use your Monster anymore.
Right. So that's the downside for me to online shopping when it comes to, like, home products. Like, all right, well, what does an 8-inch frying pan look like? What does... Because I'm going to end up with an itty-bitty fucking frying pan.
Like, one big enough for an egg, and you're like... I can't fry a hamburger.
Right. So that's the part where I still need to go and see things visually and touch things. And so I fear that this trend will be the result of closing these box stores. I hope it doesn't because I need some of it to touch and feel because I'm dumb. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not the only one, but I fall for that shit all the time.
So I bought a pair of speakers for my desktop computer, right? And they said they were USB speakers. So I was like, sweet. So I go to put them in. No, they don't work. I have to go buy a converter to, right. Because my headsets don't wear the, because this is an old tower.
Right.
It's one of those plugs that you have to put the headphones in.
Right.
Or the speakers in. And I bought a USB. So now I have to go and get a converter from a pluggy to a USB.
Right. See, and that's where... like,
and I know that those aren't the technical terms.
Right. But if you could have visually seen it, maybe it would have made more sense. And that's what I fear when it comes to, like, buying artwork and buying this. And I need to visually see... it in person, touch it, feel it, hold it up so I know what it looks like on the wall. And if I'm just ordering online, I'm going to end up with some whack, crazy size that I'm just not used to.
Right. Or some cheap ass canvas.
Yeah. That's the other thing is, you know, the quality of it that you have to know. So I think that there's a certain part of it where these stores will have to last. I think they'll have less employees, but hopefully the delivery and the packaging and all of that will fill those gaps.
I think it's going to be a lot more smaller companies providing better quality products for the certain things that we don't need to worry about online.
Right.
So you want to buy a frying pan, you're going to buy a frying pan online. You want to buy a piece of art, we're going to buy a piece of art, and we're going to go to the local artist.
Right, right.
You know, we're not going to buy mass-produced art anymore.
Mm-hmm. And if you are... this is a great opportunity for us to tell people to buy locally anyhow. If you can buy, you know, like some of the jewelry that I wear, some of the art that I have in my house, I really try to buy from an artist, a jewelry maker, a this or that. That this is how we support one another and this is how we support our community.
Yep, absolutely.
And they should be doing that. Yes, there's a convenience to shopping online, but, you know, support your local artists and all that shit.
But also don't make, you know, the assumption that your local artist doesn't ship either. Because a lot of local places have an online presence and can and will ship items to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. Good point. So there's a lot of great things. I mean, this is the thing about Thanksgiving, right? Is we automatically start thinking about Christmas. I mean, we're in the fucking middle of it right now, right? This is Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas. It all comes back to back. And we're now
it really does.
We're on a countdown to Christmas. So however you're doing your shopping, Amazon, box stores, local artists, whatever it might be, we're all thinking about it right now.
Yes. And I am horrible because I haven't even made my Christmas list yet.
I started making an Amazon Prime list. My sister got me started on it. She sent me my niece's list. So you can go into Amazon Prime and make a shopping list. Did you know that?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. So
yeah, if you have a grocery store nearby that's like a Whole Foods near you, you can buy produce on Amazon and they'll ship you produce.
Oh, I didn't know that either. See? Look at that.
Come on, I thought you were the Amazon queen. I mean, you thought it was set on fire the other couple weeks ago.
I did. Hashtag prayers for Amazon. I didn't know that. I didn't know that at all. But I think everybody start making your list, start shopping. Whatever works for you guys, let us know. If you have tips to handling Black Friday, whether it's online shopping, coupon codes, that's another thing is like, that's a great thing about Black Friday, too, is that you can also put coupon codes in there. So then you've got the Black Friday deals plus an extra 10% off, 20% off, free shipping. So if you guys have any tips to share with us, please share it. Mm-hmm. If you're a local artist or anything like that, share your link on our Instagram page. Why the hell not? If we can get you some business or if I'm interested, I'd love to spend money.
Right. And you love to wear jewelry.
I do. I just bought another set of beads. I'm hoping these fucking beads are actually going to work. They're supposed to calm you and stuff. I don't think it's working.
Well, that it's not because of the beads. It's because you won't stop drinking the fucking monsters.
Right. Well.
You're all like, oh, these beads are so calming. I'm chugging all this caffeine and I can't understand why it won't calm down.
Why does my body
look like I'm sucking a dick?
Yeah, it does look like you're sucking a dick. And here I wonder why my body excessively sweats. Hello, caffeine.
Right?
Right. So, well, that was... Go ahead. Did you have something else to say?
You are some kind of special.
I am. That's what you are special. You are sweet. You're pretty, right? You are dumb.
You is kind.
Right.
No, you're not dumb.
No, I'm
you're just pretty.
Right.
You're just pretty.
Right. Just pat him on the head. That's what I said about Ethan the other day. Thank God he's pretty.
Oh, wow. Yes. That's horrible.
So... Well, that was fun. That was a great conversation. I'm looking. Oh, I didn't ask you. What's your favorite food on Thanksgiving?
Oh, my favorite food is the stuffing.
The stuffing?
Yes, and Dion loves the deviled eggs.
Ooh, I do love deviled eggs. My mother-in-law made great stuff for deviled eggs.
He says it is not Thanksgiving without deviled eggs.
Yeah.
If there's no deviled eggs, the holiday is null and void.
Nice. So I like, there's this thing that my sister-in-law makes called chicken pie that it's a side and I love that. And I love the apple pie. And I especially love the turkey sandwiches the next day or even that night. I love to make turkey sandwich with cranberry sauce and use that instead of mayonnaise. And
okay, so I have to interrupt. Your cranberry sauce, do you make homemade cranberry sauce or do you buy this shit from the
can?
You
know I do.
Oh, that's so horrible. Did I make you my homemade cranberry sauce last year?
I don't think so, but I do love, I love the Jell-O, like the, you know, they in the can, they have the Jell-O and then they have the ones that have whole crayons in it.
No.
I like to slice it up, and then you can mix it with a little mayonnaise and make like a cranberry mayonnaise for your turkey sandwiches the next day. It's delicious.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Girl, I learned that from a sandwich shop.
You learned that while eating your nasty-ass slop.
I know, right? So also, everybody write in. Tell us what your favorite foods are from Thanksgiving, what you do with your leftovers.
Yes, send us pictures. Put pictures on Instagram. I want to see a picture of your favorite Thanksgiving dish.
Yeah, and I want to see pictures of you and your family on Thanksgiving. If you guys are in the kitchen, if grandpa or dad's asleep on the couch, if you guys are cuddled up watching the Macy's Day Parade, tag us and let us see how you are celebrating and creating your traditions on Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
All right, anything else?
Nope.
All right, well then we'll talk to everybody later.
All right, so as always, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, rambles, or anything else, shoot us an email at notasafespacepodcast.com. Holy hell, Sabrina.
You messed it up. Let me try.
I totally messed it up. Okay, now it's Sabrina's turn.
Okay.
See if she can get it.
If you have any comments, concerns, questions, or rants, please email us at notasafespacepodcast@gmail.com. Boom.
Bitches, and that's how it's done.
All right, bye, everybody.
Bye.